Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. Episode 19. Can you believe that?
No.
I genuinely can't. I feel like when we started this, we thought, let's do as many as we can, but we're here at episode 18. Thanks so much for tuning in. The last episode was an absolute roaring success. We enjoyed it enormously. And the clips that we used on the YouTube channel, if you're not subscribed to the second YouTube channel, the clips and the comments on that are fantastic. So the one thing I miss with the podcast is comments.
Mm.
And we obviously get loads of emails. I know you've got a few there today. And we've got the Rick Shields podcast Facebook group. But actually seeing comments on YouTube on the second channel is so good. Because there's quite a lot of interesting ones about Jack Ham.
There was. And all we really... This is what we require of people. It's not a big ask. Is ask us questions with the most clickbait words and stuff possible. Then we can use them in the podcast and then do short clips for the second channel that will get views. It's all we need.
It's easy as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we... I felt like it was like a legal statement there. No words were mentioned about Jack M that was not false about Jack M. And Jack M has not rung me 20 times asking me loads of different things. And anyway, that's in the past. We're in a new week. Got loads of exciting things to talk about. We've got one of the leading golfers in the world who is contracted with a certain brand has very controversially taken all of the golf clubs out of the bag from what we've seen. We've got loads of questions. We've got a new listener of the week, which is a fantastic
very
listener of the week
this week.
A guy that I actually know, but his story is fantastic. We've got loads of questions coming in. And we had some new videos that dropped this week. Trying to think where we're up to now. So we did Jack Ham, then we did the range practice session,
yeah,
which went down great.
It did,
and then we did how I play golf,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's all that's been uploaded since the new podcast has gone live.
The how I play golf one has done better than I expected. But you know what I noticed? I brought in that book the other day, the Tiger Woods How I Play Golf book, and then we titled our video How I Play Golf. And I actually didn't realise that we'd done that, but did you know? We just used it, there's always in the back of our brain, we're thinking of that book, and we called it, a bit of a contrast, Tiger Woods How I Play Golf was a really good book, but now there's a video of Rick Shields How I Play Golf.
Imagine if more people have watched my video compared to people who read his book.
Probably have, actually.
That's quite a scary fact.
Weirdly.
It's one of my favourite books growing up. Mm. Well, it was as simple as, it was showing you how I play golf over three holes. The good, the bad and the ugly. It was okay. So thanks so much for the support and love on that video. We've got some new cool ones. We've actually been on a rampage of recording new videos this week because the weather's been okay the last few days here in Manchester after horrendous weather of all the storms. And today it's a beautiful day, so this short podcast might be slightly shorter than normally scheduled because I'm going out this afternoon shooting another class idea of a video with a guest.
It's a love-hate when it's good weather because the good part of it is that we can go out and film. Get good YouTube videos done. The bad part of the good weather is we have to go out and film. We can't play darts.
And we can't do the podcast.
Yeah, my darts. When we first started talking about darts, we won't talk about it too much. I know a lot of people aren't interested in darts. But when we started bringing up darts in probably podcast 5 or 6, we were very level. And if you want to put it into golf handicap terms, we were both probably 26. We could break 100 if you want to call it that, but we weren't great. Oh, well, we couldn't break 100. We weren't very good, let's put it that way. I'd honestly say now, me versus you, I'm off 14, you're off 20.
Wow. So I've only come down 4 shots?
You've got the ability to come down more, but you're not consistent enough. You can't do doubles, which I'd say is the equivalent of not being able to putt.
Yeah,
you can drive it. Oh, he's got, Rick Shields has got a big drive on him. He's got 290 drives. It's like he's got 100 in the locker on the dartboard. But when it comes to finishing off, you can't finish your dinner.
That is true. I'd be four putting, five putting every single green. And sometimes I literally just can't get it in the hole or can't get it in the double. So the darts guys definitely took this kind of opportunity to brag a little bit about his darts prowess at the moment, because he is office champion. There's four of us in here, and it's undisputed guy at the moment is office champion. He actually had I feel like my throat's a bit croaky. He had a 12 dart finish on 301 yesterday,
which for real darts players is probably horrendous. Terrible. But in this office, I am the man. I'm the go-to guy.
It's all that practice.
I feel like I've got a bit of a strut as I walk in the office now. I'm wondering, morning, lads. Bounce in.
It's getting to the point where no one's even wanting to challenge you anymore. The other three of us are challenging each other more than they are challenging you. But anyway, it's good to talk a bit about darts again. We're not going to talk about John Robbins today, Guy.
No, so I feel like the John Robbins phase is slowly dwindling. No, it's not really. I'm still really into John Robbins at the minute. I'll give it another 2 weeks. I also saw a comment on Facebook, actually, when I asked about the question. Somebody said they'd not heard me mention running much. So was I still running? I am still running. Not as much as I was. Probably 3 a week at the minute. 3-5Ks a week. It's not daily. But I will let people know when I've quit. Again, okay. Give that another month or so.
Guy goes in and out of phases quite heavily, as I do, to be fair, as most
you're
people
quite
do.
Into phases as well.
But I'm almost, I don't get quite as invested as you, but I get out quicker.
Yeah,
I'm in, you're out. I don't get quite as invested, and I'm kind of out again. So should we talk about Justin Rose first?
Yeah, but I've got a really quick question for you that interested me that I saw on the podcast Facebook group that if you're not a member of, why not join it? It's free to do so.
There's probably too many members in there at the moment. I just want to clarify something for all the 14,000 members we've got in there. I do read everything. I just don't always get a chance to reply to everything. Imagine all the notifications I get on that group are outrageous. So I do read everything. I like as much as I can, but I can't reply to everyone. But
one of the questions was, and actually, it actually caused a lot of engagement, and I can't find it now. It doesn't matter. Basically, somebody was asking, what would your handicap be? Now, they understood the fact you were a PGA Pro, so therefore you don't have a handicap, etc., but what would it be? And I thought it was a good question to start off with, and also it gives us ammo for a clip on YouTube. So I'm going to start it now, and I'll ask you, so the clip will start now. So, Rick, what would your handicap be? You've been asked this question a lot. What would your handicap be if you had a handicap right now?
It's a great question. One that was actually recently asked in the Facebook podcast group.
It was.
If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not following that. It's an interesting one, isn't it? You've probably seen me play golf more than anybody in the world over the last few years, apart from people watching, but you get to see everything. First off, I honestly can't remember the last time I played 18 holes of golf.
With a scorecard.
With a scorecard.
Yeah.
When would it have been? I feel like there was one... Honestly, I can't remember. I don't play in competitions anymore.
Pro-Ams, you don't play properly.
I don't really play Pro-Ams. Yeah, the Pro-Ams that I play, like the BMW Wentworth and stuff, I'm not the pro. I'm like one of the amateurs, so it's in that format. Well, let's go through a couple of things. First off, as you mentioned, when you turn pro, you lose your handicap. So as soon as you're a professional golfer, you no longer have a handicap to your name. So you're effectively off scratch. So me playing against Tiger Woods, as daft as this sounds, he plays off scratch, I play off scratch. Yeah. We should therefore have a level match. But as you all know watching, that's not really true. Because until everybody turned professional, everybody had a handicap they played at. Now, I turned professional when I was 19. I was off 3 handicap, kind of coming down though. I was having a good season. I was coming down. I probably would have got to 2 or maybe even 1. And then once I turn professional, you have to do a playing ability test, which is fairly straightforward. 2 rounds of golf, you've got to shoot under 15 over. Once you've done that, then you no longer have your handicap. Mm-hmm. You are a professional golfer. You can compete professionally to win prize money, and you can no longer play in amateur events. So that was when I was 19. I honestly think now I'm a...
Don't tell me what you think your handicap will be just yet. I want you to, when you're ready, write in your notes. I'm going to write what I think yours would be, and we show each other.
Okay.
Okay, so carry on.
So with that in mind, so that was 19. I was playing off 3. I honestly believe now every single part of my game is better than when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
Every part. I drive it better. I hit my irons better. I wedge it so-so. Probably about the same. And I putt better, about the same. So in theory, I actually think I'm a better golfer now.
Yeah.
but would my handicap represent that?
Are you a better scorer? That's the difference.
No.
Have you got a number written down?
Well, let me explain.
Okay.
So if hypothetically, if hypothetically someone said, now, Rick, you're an amateur again, you're going to go and join a golf club,
mm-hmm.
and every week you're going to play in two competitions.
Right, okay.
Every Saturday and every Wednesday. I think by the end of the year, I would be off maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if I went out and played 18 holes, I know for a fact that I'm probably not likely to shoot under par.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't ever think I'm now, if I'm playing quite relaxed, I'm ever going to shoot over 80. So I would say my handicap, realistically, is...
You ready? So show me your phone after three, and I'll show you what I put for your handicap.
Give me a second. Let me just write it again. Okay.
One, two, three. Oh, I was generous.
So Guy has said two handicap.
Yeah.
Which he sees a lot of me. I've said 4.6 handicap.
I like I went for 4.6.
Because that's like five, but really I know I'm deep down with four.
The reason I went for two was because you've got a treble bogey in your locker.
Yeah.
But in club comps with like Stableford, you've got birdies and eagles in your locker as
well. Yeah.
So I think if you were playing, I know it wouldn't happen, but if you're just playing stroke play comps, potentially that score handicap 4 or 5. If you're playing like most club comps are, Stableford, week in, week out, the odd stroke play, I think you'd be probably lower than you think.
Yeah, if literally someone said to me right now, go and play golf with a scorecard in your hand and said, with your life depends on it,
mm-hmm.
you can have a handicap to shoot level par, what would you go with? I'd probably go for 4 or 5 right now, this moment in time. But I know I can shoot under par. Like even when I played Pete in the Golf Bidder Challenge last year and beat him at round Woburn, I was like 2 or 3 under par with secondhand clubs. Mm-hmm. Like, I can play good golf, but as Guy mentioned, I've also got some bad holes in there. I'm much better at match play. I think I'm a much better match play player because, again, if I have double bogey, triple bogey, it doesn't matter. If I played a lot right now, if I hypothetically did Quest for the Open again, I think I could start getting some good scores. And when I was doing Quest for the Open a couple of years ago, I did shoot in competition a few times under par, just not regularly enough. And as you might have listened to a podcast a few episodes ago when I had the worst time ever playing golf at Lumina in Spain when I played in that pro-am, that was a very different side of me. That was more, I expected in my mind to still shoot a good score, but forgot that I've not played competitive golf for 6 months.
But the thing is, though, as bad as those rounds were, as a club golfer, certainly in the UK with our handicap system as it stands, you'd have got 0.2 back.
Yeah,
0.1 for the first one, 0.1 for the second. You then go out and shoot a 3 over par the next round, and you're
back
off
under par. Yeah, exactly.
You lose 0.2 again.
So to answer everyone's question, Guy said 2, I said 5, so let's settle on 3.5, roughly.
Yeah, that's not bad. That clip can end there. That's a clip. Thanks for everyone that's listening on the podcast audio for that little bit of...
And if you want to go and have your opinion on what my handicap is, go and jump over to the Rick Shields Golf Show YouTube channel and leave a comment down there.
Yes.
Because that's actually the first time as well you'll see that our set is slightly falling apart.
It wasn't great to start with.
No,
it was slightly getting worse. There's big holes appearing in this foam stuff that doesn't really do anything but looks all right, and now it's starting to... fall apart.
I don't understand how it is, though. So on the wall in the studio, we've set up like a little podcast corner. We didn't spend a lot of money. I went on Amazon. I bought some of these squared squishy.
The expanded, though.
Yeah, expanded. Squishy pads that are supposed to be for better audio, for sound dampening on the wall. I think, in theory, it's supposed to cover the whole wall. We kind of did it with decoration, a bit of a pattern behind me and Guy. With black and red, a bit of the colours of the channel, but now gaps are starting to emerge. And I don't understand why, because I've stuck them up with commando strips, so they shouldn't really move. But either way, I think we should look at getting a new set. We've actually spoke to, won't say his name, but we spoke to somebody who might give us an opportunity to film and record our podcast in a professional podcast studio. Which could be exciting. But we don't know if that's going to work out yet or not. Otherwise, we're just going to buy a bigger place, get an amazing podcast corner, and actually have it legit.
I miss the old podcasts. The old ones on a shoebox. Before it was filmed, just me and you. They were the glory days. Episodes 1 to 16. Then it all started to go downhill.
Started to get all professional with all cameras and produce and everything else. But hopefully you guys are still enjoying it.
Justin Rose.
It's mad, isn't it?
You did a What's in the Bag with him in, I think, February of 2019, January, February.
It was filmed in February last year.
And he was hammered up to the eyeballs, wasn't he?
Yeah. He'd I think he had a few clubs in there still that were tailor-made, like a three wooden, an Axis putter, which is not Honma.
But he actually had, at the time, a Honma driver, I think. I'm sure he did.
He did, 100%.
And Honma irons, and it was the big story that he'd gone to Honma. And I think, obviously, a lot of hardcore golfers would have heard of Honma before. They're known for the kind of expensive line of golf clubs. Very big, obviously, over in Asia. But it was obviously a very clever decision by Honma, who wanted to break into the European marketplace, which you see now. So you actually see Honma in, like, American golf and kind of more just general retailers. So their idea, as far as I believe, was to sign a... I think he was actually world number one at the time.
At the time, he'd finished 2018 as world number one. He hadn't played yet in 2019. It was his first outing when I managed to bag an opportunity to do a What's in the Bag with him. And he was still world number one.
Well, bar, obviously, a Tiger, Rory, possibly a DJ, Rose, and certainly when he was world number one, you couldn't really get much bigger of a signing than that.
That's huge.
So that was their way of saying...
He's been in the top 10 in the world forever, hasn't he, really? 15 years or something. Crazy.
So that was the way of Honma saying to the Western world, we are Honma, this is who we are. Part of the story I remember was that he was signing with them, I'm sure, for loads of money, but also because he wanted to have more of an input into designing the clubs. I'm never sure how much I believe that, truth be told.
Yeah, there was rumours in the fact, let's look at, he was with TaylorMade before he went to Honma, let's look at their stable of players, Tiger, Rory, DJ, whoever else is in that mix,
Jason Day.
And I think he felt like he possibly deserved, you know, when Rory was getting prototype irons, and Tiger was getting prototype irons, and DJ... Rose was probably like, well, come on, guys. Like, I've been with you the longest. I've been unbelievably loyal to TaylorMade, and I'm possibly now feel like I'm not first, second, or maybe even third in the pecking order.
But surely if Justin Rose, who's at TaylorMade, walks into the tour truck or goes to Carlsbad and says, I want a little bit shaving off the toe on my six iron, they're going to do it. They're going to say, go and buy a set from American Golf.
Yeah, like, that might just be a rumour.
I think that's part of this nice story, isn't it? It's like a nice story to say that at Honma he gets what he wants. But last week at the Honda Classic, I believe, he was seen with a bag of, as far as I can see, I've got a note here, not a single Honma club in the bag.
Which is crazy. Because he's still, from everything I understand, did he have a Honma bag?
I think he had a Honma bag. Obviously, it wasn't ball. I think he was it 12 clubs? It wasn't the full 14 he was signed. It might have been 10 even.
Yeah, it might have been 10 or 12.
It was double figures.
Often when you'll see brands, Ping are quite different. Ping are actually, every club in the bag has to be Ping. When you go for Ping, obviously don't make a ball, so you can sign with whoever ball you want. TaylorMade, often it's everything. They're trying that now.
Unless
with
Tiger
Rory and
with, yeah,
with DJ and everyone else, you've got to use everything. But other brands have been a little bit more flexible, and certainly if you're going after a big name signing, you would give them the luxury of saying, well, I want to sign you, but really realistically, I know that putter that you've used for 200 rounds of golf, I'm not going to take that out of your bag.
Yeah.
And that was where, like, Tiger with TaylorMade, Justin Rose went with probably a similar deal, 10, 12. They were probably looking to get 14 clubs in the bag. But where we're getting to here, he was spotted not using one single Honma item in his Honma tour bag.
Wow. So I've got a list here of what I found online. I think there was one other club that we weren't sure of, but he's got the TP5 ball in there. So, although, again, Honma make a golf ball, not that surprised.
Yeah.
Got the Axis One putter, again, been using that for ages, so not surprised. This is where it gets a bit funny, though, which he's got Vokies, TaylorMade, and even, I think, a Wilson wedge in the bag from one image I've seen, but definitely Vokies and TaylorMade wedges, so no Honma wedges whatsoever. He's got the P730 irons, TaylorMade again, so no Honma irons, which Honma irons are really nice. I'm surprised he's taken them out of the bag. He then had a Cobra Speed Zone 5-wood, weirdly. A Sim Max TaylorMade 3-wood, and then a Sim driver, obviously, again, TaylorMade. So he's got a mixed bag, which a lot of guys are going for, and not even a Honma iron.
I'm just going to double-check. Someone sent me an image of this yesterday.
Was it different, what you've seen?
No, it was. Weirdly, there was an image of a Wilson wedge in his bag.
Yeah.
But I don't think that looked like...
Might be a training aid.
At the time, it looked like he had too many clubs in his bag at that point.
Sometimes players like a really heavy, weird club that might be, I don't know.
Yeah, he has a... the image I've got, he's got looks like a 60-degree Wilson staff wedge in his bag. Lots of TaylorMade. Unfortunately, this picture doesn't have the bag, but I'm presuming he's going to be using a Honma golf bag. So what the hell has gone on there? Like, that is... That's so interesting.
Well, what's
he's
his
got
royal
to
ranking
be contracted.
Now? I'll have a look.
He's 100%. He's got to be contracted. It's not going to be a 1 year deal with Honma. He's also played already this year using Honma irons and clubs. So it's not as if it was January to January. Now it's collapsed. You know, what has gone on? One of the stories were when he did sign to Honma, that one of the chief executives who kind of originally got signed with him with TaylorMade did actually move over to Honma. So there was already a point of contact over there. Has something happened there as that guy moved on? These are all speculations, by the way.
You know what I think is weird with this? I can see almost two ends to the spectrum. So in one way, every single brand now the major manufacturers, make amazing golf clubs. So you can go to any of those brands as a consumer and go and get a great set of Ping, great set of Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, Mizuno, etc. So you could argue, and certainly for tour pros who get things tweaked as well, that they can go to any brand and get any set of clubs. It shouldn't really make a difference. That's the first way of looking at it. So Justin Rose would sign with Ping tomorrow, they can make him what he wants. Mizuno, make him what he wants. On the other side of the coin, the complete flip of that is that these guys are the most hyper-perceptive people when it comes to having a golf club in the hand. I remember a story at Nike that Tiger put a blade down, 3-iron, and he could tell a toe was 1 millimeter longer than his previous set. Where that's shown, I don't know, but what I'm getting at is these pros are the most perceptive people ever. So you could argue, well, if those Honmas are slightly different to his TaylorMade, he's going to know about it, he's playing for millions of dollars, he wants what he wants. So it's which is it? That's what it's a lot of golfers have, like when Rory first signed with Nike, went down the pan and then obviously came back up again. It must make a big difference. But then why do they want to? Oh yeah, they're getting paid millions, but why do they want to risk that just for one paycheck where they could win major after major or at least compete?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think money definitely comes into it. I think relationships come into it. I think feeling like you are the golden child in that, you know, the golden nugget in that team, yeah, as well. You know, yeah. I do honestly think that. I think one of the big things, again, looking at TaylorMade, they've got so many superstars now. Was it the fact that Rose was just not feeling like a superstar there anymore with all of the other, you know, it's just,
yeah,
just thinking back when I actually did that What's in the Bag with him, he actually came off the back of winning the first event of the year with Honma clubs in the bag, and almost the speculation was like squashed because,
yeah,
everyone was thinking, oh, why is he, you know, he's world number one, why is he swapping clubs, this, that and the other. I think he won at Pebble Beach. It was the week before he won with all the Honma in the bag. Everyone was like, oh, it's great, he's winning, he's still gonna, and then from that point, really, hopefully not from the What's in the Bag video, but from that point he didn't have a great year last year. You know, what is he ranked now?
He's 13. He's still not,
but he's gone from 1 to 13, yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that is quite a big drop. I wonder, it's interesting. I'm intrigued to know if it'll last. I think something will come out in the woodworks. There's no smoke without fire, the saying says. So if there's clubs that have come out of the bag, there's a reason for it. And I think we'll only know very soon what has actually gone on.
Another analogy I've got, actually, I'm not going to name names or brands, but I know of, I heard a story, and it's true, about a footballer that was paid, or soccer player for the people in America, that was paid to wear a certain brand of football boots. And after a while, they decided that actually they were under contract, decided they're not going to bother with them anymore, they're not comfortable, and they went to wear another brand. But the brand that he should have been wearing, we're going to take it up legally because we're paying somebody to endorse our boots and he's not wearing them. But then actually they decided not to, because that whole news story would have made such a more bad PR for the said brand that they decided to let it go. So I'm not suggesting for one second that's happened here, but if it has, and Rose said, you know what, I'm not using these anymore, Honma might, I doubt they will, they might just go, you know what, let's just quietly walk away from this, because if they want to take it to court or whatever, how bad would that sound when he turns around and says, if he did, again, allegedly or whatever, but if he said, I couldn't perform with this brand as well as I wanted to, that's a bad story for any brand, whether it be football boots or golf clubs. So that's something that's interesting.
We'll find out what happens.
You ready for some good news? Some,
yes,
nice news.
Go on.
So, listener of the week. For those, okay, people that are new, or those people that listen week in, week out religiously, listener of the week is something to be held in high regard, I think.
There's only ever been 19 of them.
Yeah. And do you know, I'm going to quiz you now, do you know the criteria for listener of the week?
They've got to email podcast@rickshields.com.
Correct.
They've got to start it with hi Guy and hi Rick. They've got to make sure they are subscribed to the podcast. They've, yeah, left a review on the podcast. They follow the Facebook page. They're a subscriber of both YouTube channels. They follow me on Twitter. They follow me on Instagram. They follow me on TikTok.
That's it. Okay. You make it sound easy. It is easy.
And then send an incredibly detailed email of why you should be Listener of the Week.
Exactly that. And there's the odd occasion where if it's a ridiculous email, you can be a VIP listener. So we've had a couple of those so far, obviously. Ed Brown was the first ever, and he's the man, isn't he? We've got one that's potential for VIP.
Wow.
A couple of things I like about this. One thing actually is, halfway through the email, he almost preempts that he's going to get Listener of the Week because he says, this podcast episode will air on the 9th of March, I believe. So we also, like, he's kind of knew that he was going to get chosen, which is quite brave, but I like it. So, hi Guy and Rick. Obviously, big tick. Before I get into it, actually, he did screenshot everything. So everything you said, he follows, he likes, even down to TikTok, which is pretty dedicated. Because you're not that active on TikTok at the minute, are you?
No, need to get back on there.
If you're over the age of 17, you might not want to go on TikTok. But anyway. So, hi, Guy and Rick. I thought I'd email you to say I'm a big fan of Rick's. As you can see, I have the screenshots to prove it, as well as a video. My first ever par with Rick. So this is from John Carr. You must. Was it a playing lesson?
Yeah, it was at Burnley Golf Club.
Yeah.
The fourth hole.
Okay.
Has he said any of this?
I've watched the video before and I saw him.
Fourth hole.
8 foot putt or something.
Yeah, I can't quite remember. I think he, obviously two shots on the green or three shots on the green. I had a little late footer. I was recording on my phone. I was like, come on, John. Because he lives in Scotland, John. Came down for a lesson. And it was just like a moment. There was nobody around. It was a beautiful sunny day. And he got his par and it was like, that's class. His reaction was phenomenal.
So he said he came for a 3-hour lesson and then he obviously went on the course. It was a great day. He also came along to YouTube Golf Day. And he said, you'll also notice that Rick follows me on Twitter. And that's something you've been doing a lot more of recently. You've been following more people on Twitter, people that retweet stuff. And let's make Twitter a nicer place to be. So
that's our mission.
Yeah. If you retweet, if you get the podcast link to this and tweet it, Rick may follow you back. So we got into golf when he was about 10 or 11. Unfortunately, due to having to get his parents to drive him back and forth to the golf course, the membership's been really expensive. He had to give up after a few years. But then he got back into golf, got onto YouTube, and then he found Rick and he was hooked, which is a story we hear quite a lot. It's great to see that once again. It was easy to understand and it was simple. But then he says that, as he said, this podcast will air on the 9th of March, I believe, which is the very special day for him because it'll be 30 years since he had a heart transplant.
Wow.
So he was only 5 years old and he was born with a major heart. Well, he was born with a major heart defect. He said it was 8 defects in total. His heart was on the wrong side of his body and had 2 holes in it. He had an operation in London and he still goes down every 6 months for checks. That was
I feel like I remember him telling me this when he came for lessons.
It's crazy. He said, I lead a normal life now and he keeps great health. He said, even though this is a very happy day for me, I also like to remember the little boy who was 5 from Belgium that lost his life. And in doing so, he gave, I take it, obviously it was his heart, and he lives on with him. So that's a really cool, you know, story. And I've seen, obviously, John quite a lot tweet you when he's in the, I think he's in the Facebook group as well. So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What a cool story. So what a very a lot,
cool
John.
Story. No, he's really nice, John. Like I said, John lives in Scotland. He had a coach company. Unfortunately, I think he might have run into trouble recently, but hopefully he's got back up on his feet, and it's nice to hear that he's doing well. Yeah.
That's a good story, wasn't it?
Very nice story. Coincidentally, 9th of March is also a memorable day for me.
Why's that?
I actually met my wife on the 9th of March.
Did you?
So it's, I think we've been courting.
Sorry, granddad.
Let me think. How many years has it been? What are we on? 2013? It's 2020. We have been courting for 14 years or 13 years.
Courting?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, married for 7.
Chris asks, are budget clubs worth the savings? Talk to me.
Interesting one. Budget clubs. I think there's a couple of ways that you can look at this. Budget clubs can either be second-hand, who you might have been premium 3 or 4 years ago, and now they've come into a budget lineup because they're a lot cheaper, or budget actual sets. We obviously bought a budget set recently from Costco, Callaway Edge Clubs, which someone has won that, by the way. Let me just confirm that. But the person who won it didn't want to be announced because he wants to surprise his brother with the clubs.
That's a cool story.
So they have been shipped because they're going on a golf holiday. So budget clubs, as you saw in that video, it depends on what you're getting. Because I have seen, over the years, terrible budget clubs, I'm honest. But I do honestly think as well, now, they've got better. They've got, the budget clubs have actually got better. Certainly if you're going to go for a brand that has got some credibility inside of golf, like Callaway, and we bought a £70 Slazenger set recently. We might be looking at buying another set soon. that type of budget set does really well. I think where budget comes in is when it's a non-branded budget club, particularly, and the shaft is often very, very
whippy and soft.
Whippy and soft and
gluey. A lot more glue than graphite a lot of the time.
It's like they're just not very rigid. So that actually hinders your performance. And when you hit a shot off it and it actually dents the metal and the club, that's when it's no good. So I think you've just got to be realistic when you're looking at a budget set. I do things like, obviously, things like Golf Bidder have second-hand clubs that they sell. You know, if you can pick up a driver or a set of clubs that are 5-6 years old, it's still going to cost you a little bit of money, maybe £300 to £500, as you've seen some of the challenges me and Pete do, which, by the way, are coming back this year. And it is the finale, the final ever Golf Bidder challenge. Will be coming around April time. But you can pick up a decent set for that. And actually, if you play about with it, you know, if you can be clever with budget sets, it works. So what was the original question?
It was are they worth the savings? But it's a tough one because everything you've said there makes sense, but at the same time, for Chris, it's kind of, it depends on who you are. So if you're an absolute new golfer who has stumbled upon YouTube or watched the Masters and thought, you know what, that golf looks all right, actually I'm going to go and get a set of clubs, then go to a retail and spend £100 and get some to get out on the golf course. But if Chris is it depends on how much you
value.
Exactly, because if he's a 10 handicapper, let's just say, plays in club comps and wants to win and compete, if he buys a set that's £100 versus a set that's £5,000, let's just say, there's going to be performance differences. Yeah, because that's worth it to him. Yeah. If he wants to save £4,900 and have a conservatory or extend the house, then that's more worth it. But if he wants to be the best player of his mates and it means everything to him, then...
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's hard to answer, in a way, isn't it? It's a bit
like the RBZ Black I tested.
Yeah.
So
what was the price of that one?
£150.
Versus £450.
About £400, whatever. And it was like 11 yards difference.
So, yeah.
But depends who you speak to. Like, if you honestly spoke to me, 11 yards is a big deal.
Yeah,
I would potentially pay that extra money because I want my absolute, because it's, I'm a professional golfer. I play golf for, well, don't play golf for a living, but I want to make sure that I'm maximizing my potential. If you're a weekend golfer and not that bothered and you're just going to go on a golf holiday, then yeah, budget exactly. club is perfect for that.
It's a good question. Good answer. It's a topic that I think people always want to make sure, and I understand this, obviously, that they're spending the money in the right way.
Correct.
And there comes a point in golf, which you touched on actually with the John Robbins podcast, he said about headphones, where like you can pay a £10 putter, it's going to be worse than a £100 putter for feel, for maybe durability, etc. The grip might not be on quite straight. But then a £600 Scotty isn't really going to be any better than the £100 putter. But if you want it and that's your money, buy it.
Yeah.
Another question. What about okay, I'm just thinking. Oh, this is a good one. So it's from Chris Morgan. Hey, loving the pod. As you've both played for a long time, what would you class as your favourite club of all time and one that you've ideally owned so ever?
Probably fairly straightforward answer, Odyssey 2 Ball. Mm. The original Odyssey 2 Ball. And remember when it first came out, everyone was like, whoa, what is that? Like, it was quite garish. Yeah. Nobody really liked it. Nobody really used it. It suddenly became super, super popular. Everybody wanted them. Everybody couldn't get hold of them because they were really hard to get hold of at the time. They were expensive at the time, probably about £150 or roughly around that mark. And I just remember them being so unbelievably desirable. Certainly the time when Callaway brought out the Rule 35 ball and the ball urethane cover was the same as the putter cover. And everyone just wanted them. And suddenly I managed to get hold of one. I think I got one secondhand, or I might have got it for new, but it was the original one. Original
white
shape,
hot on the heel.
White hot on the heel. It was just sensational. So if I'm honest, if you ask me, I'm sure if you gave me 2 days to think of that answer, I'd probably think of a different club. But right now, right off the top of my head, the Odyssey 2 Ball original, which I've still got one right now at home, which I'm very proud to have one.
Good club. I had a 2 Ball Blade.
Yeah, still.
It wasn't as nice, weirdly, but I don't know why I bought it, but I did. It took me ages to get one. I wanted one as a kid so badly. Never got one. Eventually bought the Blade. I think my favourite club ever, though, not necessarily, sounds to the answer this, but not necessarily out of all the clubs I've had, it's not my favourite looking back, but at the time, I've never loved a golf club as much. And it was a Scotty Cameron Pro Platinum, and it was one of the three red dots on the heel. And it was
a head cover.
Yeah.
You have the pitchfork.
Yes, I did. I used to put gun oil on it as well in the putter to keep it nice.
Nice.
And I got it secondhand, obviously didn't get it new. I think about 100 and something pound at the time. But I absolutely idolised that cover. I cleaned it. I used to play it in my bedroom all the time. Then I went through a phase of using my mum's nail varnish remover, taking the paint out and then repainting it different colours. I was like obsessed with it. It was like it was a bizarre relationship to have with a golf club. It was borderline love. And that was a phase that lasted a long time, actually.
Wow.
But I think, although...
How did you get rid of it?
I think it was one of those phases where then I got into... When mallets became million, there was the TaylorMade Rosser, Monza, and all these different putters. And it was like, I love this Scotty, but it's not the easiest putter to actually use. So I think I probably swapped it for something, traded it in. Maybe for another 2-ball, actually.
Do you think if you asked most golfers who have played for a long time, the answer would be putters?
I think so. Putter or driver.
Yeah, I just feel like there's weird like relationship you try and forge with a putter.
I think it's because...
Well, use it every hole.
And there's something about that. In order to sound silly this, but no matter how good a drive you hit, if I'm playing you in a match play and I outdrive you by 12 yards...
Here we go.
And then we both hit the green or whatever. Most times, not always, but most times, to actually win the hole and put it to bed, even if I'm 3 shots ahead, it has to be the putt, doesn't it? And I don't know, something about that relationship with that's the ball, that's the club that ends the hole and ends the round. And I don't know, like you said, there's something about a putter. It's like...
Yeah. Because even if you absolutely smash a driver, someone could outdrive you.
Yeah.
But you could hold a putt and... Nobody else could hold that putt. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it is special. It's got a special connection with the putter.
Did you see that Matt Fitzpatrick has had Bettinardi build him a new version of his yes?
Yeah.
And it's literally the exact same.
It is, but someone actually took a screenshot and zoomed right in. And
the groove's not the same.
The wrong way around or something.
It'd be for patent reasons, yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't think the yes groove probably did as much as we all believed back 10, 15 years ago. But they were good putters.
Oh, so good. But had a Cali.
I had the one that he had. Whatever he's got now, I had.
Well, there was Cali, which is like the answer. I don't think his is Cali.
Whatever, Tracy 2, was it?
Tracy.
There was a Tracy and a Tracy 2.
Remember the triangle one, though, as well?
Yeah, Barry Taylor had that for years. I can't remember, but it was really, really pointy triangle, wasn't it?
I'm going to have to have a look now.
But that's the thing with a putter. It's like you build a relationship. Was a driver, you could get a driver after a new couple of seasons. But a putter, I think most people, and a lot of golfers have two putters, don't they?
Yeah. There was Sophia.
Yeah.
There was Marilyn.
I don't remember that one.
Tiffany.
I feel like I don't remember that one either.
Where's that?
That
one?
Triangle.
That's definitely one I had.
Let's see this one.
Cali.
See, I didn't have that one. I had the one that Matt Fitzpatrick's
got. He's got that on a camera as well. That's the putter I had. No, I don't think Fitzpatrick's got that one.
No, he's not. He's got the one I had, which has got a round. The net goes in, I think. It's not like that crooked net.
There's this one, which is, I know.
Yes, putters work.
He's got that, but annoyingly, it doesn't have the name on it. That's the triangle one. Natalie.
Yeah. Oh, there's more of a triangle than that, though. There was
there was.
This one isn't the best. If you're just listening on the... So I'll try and talk through the putters that Rick's showing. If you remember Yes Putters, they were really had the C-Groove technology. It was designed to give you more topspin, better roll. But they were really... Probably about 2004, they were massive.
Massive.
04 to 08 or something.
Harold Swash.
Yeah.
Over in Southport, here in the UK. It's where really forged kind of... Phil Kenyon's kind of love from putting, because I think he used to work for... that's the triangle one.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about.
The image isn't great. Sorry about that.
Do you remember the grips on them?
Like yellow and black.
Yeah, it was a wind grip, and I think it was yellow, then white, then black, and it had Yes on it.
I honestly don't even know how we got on this conversation. Favourite club. Yes is not one of my favourite clubs, but yeah, anyway.
Are you ready for a nightmare golf shot? NGS.
An NGS special.
I can't remember your theme tune to this. Yeah, that's...
It's a bit, I'm sure that's like...
That was Listening to the Week originally, and then you've changed it to everything now.
It's like a cartoon.
You said Tom and Jerry last time, but I'm not
convinced.
Something
like that.
So a little disclaimer straight away. We've had loads of emails for Nightmare Golf Shot. It started off being the first tee shot of your round, but we've extended it now because we want more content. If you've got one, email podcast@richshields.com and call it Nightmare Golf Shot and then tell us your story.
But truth be told, they've got to be pretty good because I think we've got 2 years' worth of Nightmare Shots.
They have to be good because, sounds bad, if you just send us a one line, I topped one with a mate at whatever golf club, it's not that good of a story. It needs to be at least like... It needs to be
four paragraphs.
It needs to be so long that if you send it as a text to your friend, it would be weirdly long. That's how long it needs to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd see a thing, oh my God, what's going on? Like, this is a massive WhatsApp to receive. That's how long it has to be. Side note, and this sounds a bit stupid as I'm about to say today's one isn't actually the best. There was some that were better that I might use for future times. But what I liked about this one, it's from Jack.
Okay.
And he references...
Not Jack Ham.
No, Jack Spolin, I think his name is. But
I was worried then.
He references himself I was worried,
just a quick one. I could imagine Jack Ham sending one saying, I've got a nightmare. One time I only hit one, 390.
Yeah, that sounds like Jack.
I let everyone down.
But this Jack, he references himself throughout it in third person. So it's as if someone else has wrote it on his behalf. And that I like that. So it's not... Don't get right. It's not going to be the best story of the day. You're not going to be laughing
but
in the
well
car,
written.
But it's well written. So he starts off. Summer 2019, Jack is facing golf against his frenemy, which is a friend and enemy in one, which is quite cool. Did you know that, Rick?
I didn't know that.
A frenemy. Frenemy Terry at, feels like a fake name that he's used, but Chestnut Golf Club. It's a hot day with temperatures pushing 30 degrees. That'll be Celsius for anyone in America listening, because that'll be cold if it's in Fahrenheit. But with these two on the tee, it got a whole lot hotter.
Oh my God, is this going to be some sort of sexual novel?
No.
erotica, golf erotica.
Actually, I think it could be in a minute. It's got a stiff shaft. Jack arrived early and hit the range to warm up. He recently spent a lot of time working on his driving, thanks to Rick Shields' golf video. And the flop shot, surprisingly, he's not that bad at that. The moment arrives, Jack being the wannabe pro. The phrase, all the gear, no idea, has never been more meaning, and he tees it up first. A better drive, you'll never see. A high fade, 250 yards, split in the fairway, game on.
I feel like this needs some music behind it.
Terry's drive is not great. It's hooked left into the first cut. Jack's tail is up. He can smell blood.
I don't even like that innuendo, Jack's tail is up.
It's a little bit Brokeback Mountain, this. Hole one is a par five, and Jack is just under 300 yards left into the green. Now, obviously, a mere mortal should lay up, reach the green with your third and aim for a birdie putt, take a par. But surely, with a drive like that, Jack has been blessed by the golfing gods and could reach the green in two. So out comes the 3-wood. Dun, dun, dun. A club he usually despises and cannot hit very well at all. But surely today, that doesn't matter. Surely today, it's about to get ripped and will land within 5 feet of the hole. It's not that good, honestly. Don't get excited.
This is good. I think you're giving it... I think you.
The outcome's not amazing. 10 seconds later, and Jack is on his knees. This is getting a bit weird. What are you doing, Jack? Jack is on his knees and about 90 yards to his right in a bunch of bushes, nettles, and God knows what, trying to find his golf ball.
What the hell?
9 shots later, and he's putted, and he's on his way to his second hole. So he comes off in 11. Model of the story, don't be like Jack. Oh, and throw away your 3-woods. So what do you think? It was well written, wasn't it?
It was
a story.
It was very well written. I kind of want to see it in my own eyes, which one is that one?
I just like the way I called himself Jack. He really talked. So if you want to be...
who won the match?
I don't know. He just tells us the first hole.
All right.
That would have been nice, actually, in more detail. So
yeah, come on, Jack. I want part two now.
Out of 10, what are you going to give him? I'm thinking 7.5. Use of storytelling was good. The outcome wasn't amazing.
He spelt my name right, so he gets extra points there. I'll give him a...
Rate of methods in school, so B plus.
Okay. yeah, B.
B.
Have we got a pen?
Yeah. That's an Apple pen.
B.
Okay, so maybe that's the new feature as well. You can start rating the Nightmare Golf Shots, the NGS. So if you want your NGS to be featured, email Rick Shields. It's podcast@rickshields.com.
We should like tick each bit of it. Yeah, okay, we'll start doing that. I'll mark it. It was a good length.
This just sounded weird now that Jack's good length after he's in the trees on his knees. Anyway, it was a good story.
We might not use this one for the podcast clips.
No, this is for the real podcast listeners. The podcast clips are just all little clickbaity bits. Have we got anything else that could work as a podcast clip? This is a good one, right? So everyone listening, this is going to be a YouTube podcast clip. Rick, got a question for you.
Go for it.
What's more important when trying to improve, to gain distance and then work on your accuracy, or work on your accuracy and then try and work on distance?
What's the right terminology? It's unfamiliar to popular belief. No, what's the
contrary to popular belief.
Contrary to popular belief. I think a lot of players think they should work on direction, mm-hmm. distance later. Mm-hmm. I would disagree.
Okay.
I think you work on distance first, direction later. And the reason being, I think to build a swing with speed and distance is essential. I think then to be able to correct that swing and speed distance with club face control and shot shaping is the next thing. I see a lot of golfers who have learnt to try and hit it straight, which is, by the way, bloody hard, mm-hmm. and then injected speed into it, and they've got worse.
Injected speed? It's like a tailor-made ad.
Injected speed. So personally, I think trying to get the speed up, trying to get the distance up, then working on direction.
Makes sense.
You know, if I was working with a new student, I don't care if they hit a 7-iron 10, 15, 20 yards to the right, as long as they're hitting it a substantial distance. Because to correct that 15, 20 yards right and left is much easier to try and up that 20 yards up.
Cool.
You're checking the time.
I was checking the time. I don't think that's quite long enough for a podcast clip. Joking. One more, and then we might have to look at wrapping this up. This is quite a good one, actually, and again, could work as a video. So, how about lake balls versus refurb versus new? What's your opinion on those three? So, we've got lake balls, we've got refurbished, and we've got new. Talk to me.
Like difference.
Difference is what you expect to see.
Well, if I'm honest, before we shot that video back in the summer, mm-hmm. when I bought some refurbished golf balls online from American Golf, I expected the refurbished golf balls to be absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
The refurbished balls, depends on where you get them from and the quality of them, they were much, much better than I expected them to be. Performance-wise, way better. The cover on them is definitely not as good as it should be. Mm-hmm. I think they repaint the cover, which from what I've been told changes aerodynamics and all this, but I didn't see any evidence of that whatsoever. They do scuff up quicker. Yeah. This is refurbished balls I'm on about
now. Out of the bunkers,
they're
terrible.
So refurbished balls is where they've literally taken an old Titleist Pro V1 or whatever it is, stripped the cover off, and repainted it with a new lacquer, basically. So it's not the correct finish you would get on a premium Pro V1 golf ball from the shops. But for the price point, the I can't remember. £20 for 12 balls, yeah. I think it was. When I cut them in half, they were genuine Pro V1s. The question is, are all of the refurbished golf balls out in the world genuine Pro V1s?
The way to do that is buy a dozen, cut them all open and see, and then go and play.
But genuinely, that's the only way you can check it. Like, even, I think, didn't I cut over, open two or three of them in that pack? So I was like, I want them all to be the same as well. And they were. They weren't the new Pro V1. They were like 2015 Pro V1. But they were. They worked. Lake balls.
I've got a question on lake balls.
Go for it.
So, in theory, a lake ball, obviously, is a Pro V1 or whatever that's been hit into a lake and taken out, maybe washed and whatever. But I don't know the answer to this. I'm just speculating and just asking. If a golf ball has been at the bottom of a lake for 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, will that not have an effect on the inside of it? And potentially then the washing of it, if you like, want to call it that, the cleaning, does that not have an effect?
You would think so. Yeah, I don't know the answer to this. Because maybe we need to buy some lake balls and test them. Because lake balls, in theory, they don't get recovered. They are literally, as you mentioned, dragged out of a lake. It's actually a massive business now, you know.
Can imagine. Like, there's
guys out there making tons of money professionally diving into golf courses with permission from the golf course. And often what they'll do, they'll go and pay the golf course. They'll say, right, can I pay you $5,000? I'm going to pick all your lakes full of golf balls and I keep the golf balls and sell them. And golf course are like, yeah, okay, well, why not? And they'll divvy them all out and they'll bag them all up. Right, that's a bag of Pro V1s. Like I said, they'll clean them. They don't repaint them. So typically what you'll see is the actual ball that went in the water, scuffed, scratched, whatever it may be, they drag it out, clean it. That's the ball that you buy. Yeah. So it's more like a second-hand golf ball so much. I don't know what the influence is, whether a golf ball's been in the water for a week, a month, a year, 5 years. I don't know. I know that they definitely go browner because I've seen that. You know, when you find a Pro V1 that's been in the water for 5 years or whatever, the problem is you can never tell how long it's been in the water for unless you actually put it in water and said, I'll come and pick you back up in five years.
But it'd be a bit boring. We could actually get a golf ball, put it in water for like a year.
5 years.
And then come back and test it and see if it's different. Who knows?
And I know because of the water and the residue and everything else in the water, they do go brown and whatever, but I'm sure that can scrub off. I feel like you're probably more safer with lake balls. Because you kind of know what you're getting compared to refurbished balls. Because refurbished is a little bit dodgy. I think there are brands out there or websites selling fake golf balls that have been refurbished. If you can, I know it's hard. If you want a Pro V1, obviously the 40 quid a dozen, which is too much in my opinion. I think we've got a video coming out soon actually about Pro V1s. But you're actually better off just buying a £20 Titleist golf ball, which in fairness does have a lot of benefits to it, and the performance will still be great for you going out and playing golf. It's just not a Pro V1. I think there's so many more golf ball options now with all these kind of brands that are, you know, making golf balls that are on paper more similar to Pro V1s.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of balls that are cheaper that probably for most people are going to perform as well as a Pro V1, but Pro V1 has been the gold standard for 20 years and people know they're expensive in the premium. So if you walk into a shop and you see a £20 version that's been found in the lake, people are going to still buy them, aren't they?
I think your best bet is just buying them off the kid who says on the 13th tee at your local course, yeah, mate, I've got some golf balls. Do you want some? And you go, yeah, okay. Oh, that's mine, actually. No, it's not, mate.
No, of course, it's you playing that.
Yeah, rough ones. Is that it?
I think it's the last thing. Let's just give an example. Young John listens to the podcast.
Yes.
And he listens on Apple.
Okay.
And every Monday tunes in about 9 a.m. on his way to work, 8 a.m. puts it on, enjoys it. What should he do? What should he do with the podcast? Should he rate it? How does he go about that?
That is a loaded question. Well, little John should obviously, once he's parked safely at his place of work or you know, home, whatever he may be going to. Maybe going to the gym. Or she. Or Juliet, little Juliet.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
I don't know where that came from. You're trying to think of a Joni or something. Then,
You know, they might be at the gym. They might be at the golf course. They might be going visiting friends. They might be, you know, going on holiday. Who knows? And they've parked up responsibly.
And they've finished the podcast.
And they've turned off the key. and they're walking into the office and they think, hold on, you know what? I bloody enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was, you know what? That was one of my favorite things I've ever allowed into my brain.
Yeah.
Through my ears, into my brain. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Okay. You know what? I feel like I need to, I feel empowered. I feel like I need to do something that would potentially allow more people to listen to what I've just listened to.
To experience
to it. Experience the state of euphoria that I'm in right now. So I'm going to do two things.
Okay.
I'm going to tell everybody in my phone book. I'm going to send an email to everybody in my email address.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy a billboard in the center of town.
Yeah.
And post on there, Rick Shields podcast, listen to it now. It's the best thing you'll ever put in your ears.
Okay.
Not signature John and Juliet. Yeah. Okay.
What's more realistic than the billboard? What can you do to help?
Listen, if you don't want to do a billboard, I understand. I mean, I won't think any less of you.
I will.
So maybe just give it a 5-star rating.
Okay.
Give it a review.
Yeah. Say and type out what you think of it.
Yeah. And if it's not 5-star, don't bother leaving anything. Either say either say something really nice or don't say anything at all. That's my advice.
Could you live with 4 stars?
No. I'll block people.
That
with
all
4 stars.
Good. The only concern I've got is that little Gary, he listens through Spotify, and unfortunately on Spotify, you can't rate the podcast.
Well,
that's
so why are you on Spotify?
True, but little Harry, what he can do instead, if he wants to be part of the team, he can share it. So he can click a little button at the side, share podcast.
Oh, it's like a WhatsApp rectangle group. With an arrow through it.
Yeah, put it into his podcast, into his WhatsApp group or his Facebook page or Twitter and share the podcast. And he could screenshot that and send it to us at podcast@richshields.com and we'll shout him out and say, little Gary is the man.
There you go. So if you either two options, I'm happy with either. Billboard in the middle of town centres.
Yeah.
Or just pass it through your WhatsApp groups. It's your choice, everybody listening.
If somebody goes and buys a billboard and puts this on, I think we should buy them a set of clubs.
Okay.
There you go.
Can we actually put some terms and conditions on
it? It's got to be a proper big billboard.
Yeah, massive.
Like, not like a little sign.
That's what I mean. It's got to be huge.
Or if you do handmade posters and put them in places that are popular, we could send you something little instead.
Yeah. If you make...
From Provies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody.
Want picture sure evidence, obviously.
Make sure you share the podcast, otherwise you're going to three-putt forever. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We're going to go and shoot a video now because it's sunny. We're going to have some lunch, shoot some video. It'll be out for your viewing pleasure very soon on YouTube, Facebook, and everywhere else you get your videos. We'll see you all soon.
Quick game 301.
Why not?
Done.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win. And also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.